Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9 p.m. British Summer Time. Today is September 27th. Today we had a strong rally right across the Asian region that carried through into Europe, as a little bit of disagreement appeared about exactly how the Eurozone is going to solve its crisis. The USA pared its gain, but some very strong advances in here today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 4%. The ASX was up 3.6%. There were a number of Asian markets, particularly Indonesia, were very strong performers in here today. In Europe, the DAX was up over 5%, the FTSE over 4%, the OMX in Stockholm up over 6%. The Dow and the S&P are both closing out the day up about 1%, maybe a bit more for that for the than that for the Dow. The Nasdaq up also about 1%. TSX just a shade under 1% up on the day. The gold market paired its advance in here today, but it's finishing up $23 at 1649. Silver is closing out the day up $2. It was almost up $3. Almost up $4 earlier on today. Both platinum and palladium also turned in a good performance in here today. The copper market was up over 12 cents, back up to $3.40. Very strong day across the industrial metal complex. Not so strong in the agricultural complex. Wheat, corn, soybeans were all up on the day, but not by any not in a dynamic fashion, and that's notable in a day which was remarkable for the number of upward dynamics that were posted. The weakness in the grain and bean complex has proved a tailwind for the meats complex, and live cattle and feeder cattle in particular have been rallying strongly for the last couple of weeks. They are coming back up to test their highs. So that is quite constructive action, and it continues. If one looks at the market over the last 10 years, even 20 years, feeder cattle prices have been largely range bound, but they've had this upward trajectory. They've broke upwards to new all-time highs in the last 2 years. They've spent a good time consolidating. They continue to look like they are going to head higher over the medium term. This was also a strong day in the oil complex. West Texas Intermediate is finishing out the day up $3.43, and Brent crude yesterday, having had a look at the $100 level, was also really quite strong in here today and is back up to 106.66, was closing out the day up over $2. The US dollar was a bit weaker in here today, particularly against Asian currencies. We saw a good rebound in some of those Asian currencies, and perhaps that's where we should start in terms of where to think about where markets are going. The US dollar had a very powerful rally over the last 2 weeks. It became really quite overbought in the very short term, and that overbought condition is being unwound, at least in the short term. That has helped to support the commodity complex in here today. The US dollar broke above 200-day moving averages against a whole range of currencies. It is unwinding that short-term overbought condition. If it finds support in the region of those 200-day moving averages and consolidates above it, then one would really have to adopt a medium-term bullish outlook for the US dollar. That would be a headwind for commodities over the medium term. In the short term, it looks like they have got a little bit further to go on the upside. This has been a remarkably volatile few months, and the number of days that we've seen markets up over 4% or down over 4% has increased substantially in the last 2 months. That's debilitating for investor sentiment. It's very easy to become bearish at the lower side of these ranges and bullish at the upper side. And last week was a very bearish week. The week before was a bullish week. The week before that was a bearish week. The week before that was a bullish week. We're getting this schizophrenic one week on, one week off type of activity, and this week is proving to be bullish. The S&P is rallying from the lower side of its almost 2 month range. The Nasdaq, when one looks at it on a weekly chart, it removes all of the gaps, but it's been gapping both up and down. We have a preponderance of upward dynamics and downward dynamics, 1 week followed by 1 week up, 1 week down. The Nasdaq continues to have this upward bias, though. It's continuing to push back up towards that 2300 level. If it can manage to sustain a move above 2300, that would be very bullish indeed. But until we see that, we won't have any real evidence that the demand side is reasserting itself beyond the short term. So while the action that we're seeing is positive because markets are finding support where they should, yesterday we saw, for example, Taiwan, Singapore, and Hong Kong breaking downwards from their ranges, but they all rallied in here today, and additional follow through in here tomorrow would signal failed downside breaks, or at least be very close to doing something like that. That would be good positive action. The DAX went down and had a look at the 5,000 level in the last 3 or 4 days. That's also the 2010 lows. It's tested that level twice. We've had a loss of downward momentum. It's rallied right up to test the progression of lower rally highs. This is a falling wedge type characteristic, and we describe that in the chart seminar as a type 2 bottoming characteristic. If it starts to take out, well, if one thinks about where would the stops be, they'd more than likely be just above where the progression of lower rally highs is. If that progression of lower rally highs gets taken out, then it's not unreasonable to expect that it will start to pressure some of what must be rather large short positions, and that could initiate a rather powerful rally. So, while sentiment towards the Eurozone has become increasingly bearish, and people are crystallizing their views, there are some people that have a crystallized view that the euro is going to survive this, and the bears point to a whole slew of evidence and say that the euro is not going to survive this. And people are getting really rather emotional about the whole topic. I believe it's while the issues themselves are really complicated, the solution could be boiled down to whether the major countries in Europe have the will to save the euro. The euro has been a massive positive for a number of countries, particularly the surplus countries in Europe. They need to start selling that idea to their populations. At the minimum, their respective banking sectors are going to need to be bailed out. It's increasingly likely that Greece is going to have to default, or its debt will have to be restructured in one shape or way or form. The EFSF deal has to get passed. The 440 billion euros that's been allotted to it needs to be invested in the secondary market to help bring down those government bond spreads and take some of the pressure off of the respective governments. This is not going to be an easy. There is no easy answer to this crisis. But it doesn't need to be. We don't need to have a disaster. We could quite easily restore some investor confidence in here if some of the European leaders stand up and make a bold statement and follow through with substantive action. One can't rule out that possibility. They haven't demonstrated that type of strong leadership yet. That doesn't preclude the possibility that they might do that. What we are seeing is that the European banking sector broke its progression of lower rally highs in here today. That's the first building block of support building. It's broken the downtrend. Now it needs to hold above the 105 area, above 100 at a very minimum, and it needs to put in a higher reaction low to really indicate that demand is starting to return in a meaningful way in this in this sort of area. So we're still in very early days here, but this is good positive action. Now, US Treasuries were down today by about 1.5 points. They surged last week, and they have been pulling back this week. The progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. A sustained move below 140 would begin to start to pressure that progression of higher reaction lows. Euro bunds have lost momentum. They did not surge last week. They have pulled back to 135.88, and a sustained move below 135 would break that progression of higher reaction lows. It would symbolize a major loss of consistency in what has been a remarkably consistent advance. That would then start to raise the possibility that supply is returning to dominance in this area. And these markets are really quite overextended in by just about any measure that one chooses to use. So we are in this very volatile environment. There is a simmering crisis in the Eurozone. Governments are starting to demonstrate an understanding that this crisis is not just going to fix itself, that they are going to have to do something. And it's looking increasingly likely that they are going to do something. Now, there have been rumors that they're going to massively increase the size of the EFSF deal. They're going to leverage it up to trillions of euros. They are not going to do that without the ECB's approval, and the ECB, being right across the road from the Bundesbank in Frankfurt, isn't going to be particularly keen on that. But regardless of whether something like that actually comes to fruition or not, it does demonstrate that the monetary authorities in various countries and various politicians and finance ministers are beginning to explore radical options to deal with this crisis. That's good news. Where the money comes from, whether Europe engages in quantitative easing or not, whether they just print the euros, those are secondary. Something is going to have to be done. The surplus countries are going to end up bailing out the weaker countries. We are going to have a central fiscal policy right across the Eurozone over the medium term. But in the short term, this crisis has got to be brought to an end. The various politicians have got to get ahead of the curve. They're demonstrating that they're starting to get that idea. That's why the banks are that little bit stronger in here today. But we've had a large degree of technical deterioration in stock markets. We are seeing very tentative signs that we're in the region of a low. There will need to be considerably more action to demonstrate that that low is going to hold. So this isn't, there's no need to be rushing into markets here, but it's better to be buying at the lower side of the range rather than the upper side of the range if one is so inclined. Gold retraced back to the 200-day moving average yesterday. It rallied impressively. It rallied over $100 off its low yesterday. It was up 24 in here today. The chances are that this is going to remain a volatile market, which will favor traders more than investors. But for anyone who's interested in gold, it's a much more attractive proposition, having now retraced back to the 200-day moving average, than it was back when it was at $1,900, almost $300 ago. So a mantra at Fuller Money over the last decade has been, don't pay up for commodities. Commodities, by their nature, are volatile. They will revert to the mean at some point, and patience is generally rewarded in that regard. One might still have a chance to purchase at lower levels in the gold market, but this is almost certainly back to an area where nibbling from a long-term perspective is probably more justified than it was only 6 weeks ago. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.